just in time for kickoff. Hooters' famous saucy wings, delicious seafood, half-pound stacked burgers, and fresh chopped salads. Hooters is honored to serve the Tampa Bay community with delicious take-home and a great place to watch the game with friends and family. Providing that famous neighborhood hospitality only Hooters can deliver. Hooters, proud sponsor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for locations near you.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. I thank Hooters for their continuing sponsorship. Also like to give a shout out to Bill Curry Ford as they write $1,000 checks to winners of Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast leagues. I had one of those checks last year. Tony Tega has one of those $1,000 checks from a second podcast league last year. Rob Wright, a very good fantasy football and loyal fantasy football player, and Todd Wright Tour golfer, won one of those checks previously. Remember, there is no entry fee in any of my fantasy leagues. Never has been, never will be, just like you will never pay for this podcast. Thanks to people like Bill Curry Ford, and certainly thanks to originalhooters.com. My email is write.todd@yahoo.com if you have a fantasy question. write.todd@yahoo.com is the email that we are using for this season of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm on Instagram at ToddWright2121 and on Twitter at ToddWright2121. This is episode 18 of a guaranteed minimum of 55, sponsored by Hooters this season for season 7 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Welcome if you are new to me. Yes, this is actually a fantasy football podcast that will stand out as different from other fantasy football information you will get elsewhere. If you have not listened to any or all of the previous 17 episodes, you might want to go back and get caught up because it all leads to one place in how I score leagues, the information I give you that is different from cliche information that you receive that you should not necessarily uses gospel from other sources. I do quote other sources here that I think are legitimate, and I have for many years. They are Matthew Berry. They are the Fantasy Football Now crew, even without Matthew Berry at ESPN. Roto Pat from what is now called NBC Sports Edge. Matthew Berry is now there at NBC Sports Edge. And for draft purposes, the data accumulated by fantasyfootballcalculator.com that you can use for mock draft information to help shape your opinions leading up to your draft. That is a free service that they provide. You can put in your own settings. There's a lot of paid content there, but that content is free as it relates to how they compile thousands of mock drafts over a span of, say, 10 days and tell you what the trends are. And I think it's very valuable, and that's why I talk about it here. So this week, we've talked about quarterbacks. We gave Josh Allen his own podcast. Then we gave Justin Herbert his own podcast. This podcast goes out to Jalen Hurts. Now, at this time last year, I had not mentioned Jalen Hurts, and probably only mentioned his name once or twice until I got into my own drafts, specific to the draft of the Fantasy Football Foundation that I've been running for now 8 years. I have often talked about how my philosophy is as a Cowboys fan. And granted, the Cowboys offense the last few years has been one of the best in the NFL. There's a lot of fantasy points out there. I choose to split my football interests. Some find this fascinating, that I limit myself to one Dallas Cowboy on any of my fantasy football teams. And it's a simple reason. If the Cowboys have a bad week, it doesn't sink my fantasy team. and ruin my entire weekend. Which, if my fantasy team loses and the Cowboys lose, I'm not happy. Now, I'm hopeful the Cowboys win in the same weekend that my fantasy football team wins, but they are independent of one another. One particular player having a bad game on the Cowboys may not necessarily mean the Cowboys lose. One particular fantasy player on my team having a bad game may not be the only reason why my fantasy teams lose. But I don't want to link my favorite team to my fantasy team, because if they both go down, it's a bad weekend for me. So I limit myself. One Cowboys player on my fantasy football team. Now, I have multiple fantasy football teams, so I may have a different Cowboys player on those teams, but I don't go over one. I don't stack as it relates to multiple Cowboys. So I always have hope that someone I care about, my fantasy team or teams or the Cowboys, make me happy in a particular weekend. There are a couple of terrific friends that play in the foundation. They are friends more than anything else because of who they are. I know them primarily because of golf, but their football loyalties lie with the Eagles. And it's been interesting to me to see how they have created an example of, I often talk about, you're going to have in your league, depending on where you live or who's in the league, you're going to have at least one homer in the league. They're a homer for their own team, and that impacts the way they draft fantasy-wise. You need to take advantage of that, because they may be overvaluing players just because that player is on their favorite team. So by elevating the value of a player, it allows players who actually have that value to drop to you. So having homers in your league isn't a bad thing for you from a strategic standpoint. You take advantage of them, because most often they are making a bad choice. There's a bias built in that doesn't necessarily help them. It's why I talk about, let me just praise everybody here. If you're listening to this podcast, you're a fantasy football player. We know more about what's going on in the NFL than people who don't play fantasy football. We do. Because you have to follow what is going on with other teams. You have to know what players on other teams are performing well and productive. You follow the statistics, you watch the highlights, you watch the Red Zone channel. You pay attention to games where people who don't play fantasy football or bet on football have no skin in the game. They feel a particular NFL game has no meaning at all. Well, so they are not privy to who is good or bad on those teams because they don't pay attention. We have skin in the game. You need to know what's going on around the NFL, even if you are a big homer, as these two friends are, one more than the other, for a particular team. They follow what's going on in the rest of the NFL, which you honestly should do because it's relative to how good your team is. So it's specific to the Philadelphia Eagles, which is interesting because I'm a Cowboys fan, that I talk about these two guys in the foundation. going back to, let's see, what year was this? I think this was 2017 now. Let's see. 2015, 2016, 2017. Yeah. 2017, third year of the foundation. Both of these guys who love the Eagles made the league championship game. One more than the other, just loaded up on Eagles players. So forget my one Cowboy per fantasy team rule. He had the quarterback. He had at least one of the running backs, at least one of the pass catchers. I think he had the kicker. We were still playing DST at the time. He might have had that too. It actually worked because that was now the year the Eagles won the Super Bowl. So those players were productive and he ended up winning the league. So I guess you could go back and make a case, right? There was probably someone, I'm guessing, in Southern California last year who had Cup, Stafford, picked up Odell Beckham, either Jefferson or Woods, Matt Gay, right? Running back sort of rotated with the Rams, probably had one of those, and it worked out. So it can work out, but the odds are that it won't because you have too much of a bias towards your own team. You're counting on your team to be really, really good. And often that bias will hurt you in fantasy football. So these guys are not ignorant to what's going on in the rest of the league. Um, 2017 was an example of this particular Eagle fan loading up on Eagles. The Eagles turned into a Super Bowl team, which we know in the playoffs it doesn't matter for our fantasy football purposes. But the point was that he had productive players. Last year, it was interesting as our draft played out. This other Eagle fan who plays in my league was the last to draft a quarterback. And as a matter of fact, I believe at least one other team, and we were a 10-team league, the foundation last year, at least one other team had already drafted two quarterbacks. And then he made his quarterback choice, and it was Jalen Hurts. Now, could there have been some bit of a favorite team bias in the pick? Sure. But this is also a very smart player. And in retrospect, I now and have given him and anyone else who used this theory last year on Jalen Hurts, whether you were an Eagles fan or not, if you selected Jalen Hurts last year, if you drafted him, not picked up on waivers, which I would imagine there were a percentage of people who did that. But if you drafted Jalen Hurts as your starting quarterback, good for you. Because it allowed you to pick up players at other positions, namely running back and wide receiver, tight end, flex, slash pass catcher, as I call it. And you still got immense value from the selection of Jalen Hurts going off the board as what? In our draft, he was the 11th quarterback off the board. In some drafts, probably lower than that. Some maybe a little higher. But I'm guessing there weren't many fantasy drafts last year where Jalen Hurts went top six. I'm going to say it, top six, right? The top six quarterbacks picked last year, no particular order, were Allen, Mahomes, Rodgers, Brady, Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott, even though off the injury, and if not Dak Prescott, maybe with Matt Stafford going to McVay or Kyler Murray. And some smart Justin Herbert people got in there right around that time. Jalen Hurts was not in that conversation. Update to 2022, now he is. Now he is. And even though I'm a Cowboys fan, I have no bias against players on Cowboy rival teams if they are fantasy productive. Jalen Hurts last year, in my 21st century modernized standard scoring settings, was QB6 with 289 points. That's more than every pass catcher in my league, more than Cooper Kupp, more than Debo, more than Jamar Chase, more than Devontae Adams, more than Justin Jefferson, not even close. Kupp was 14 points back, so that was close. The only player at the non-quarterback position that outscored Jalen Hurts last year in my scoring settings was Jonathan Taylor. While we're on the running back comparison, let's talk about what Jalen Hurts does from a rushing standpoint. There were only five running backs in the NFL last year who had more rushing touchdowns than Jalen Hurts. Five. That's it. Five. Jalen Hurts was tied for sixth in the NFL in rushing touchdowns last year. So for those of you who put this value on running back, running back, running back, running back, and ignore how last year I didn't draft a running back until the fourth round and still won the league, and you call that an aberration rather than acknowledging the numbers and years of data that went into that philosophy that I executed for the championship. Even if I didn't win the championship, the fact that I made the championship game should tell you that my theory works, depending on your draft position and how your draft plays out. If you value running backs that much, you cannot dismiss Jalen Hurts and his 10 rushing touchdowns last year. In his second year in the NFL. You can't. Only five running backs scored more rushing touchdowns than Jalen Hurts. And let's just add up the rushing points. Jalen Hurts rushed for 784 yards last year in 15 games played. 784. In normal scoring settings, that's 78.4 points based on his rushing yards. Now add in the 6 points per rushing touchdown for the 10 rushing touchdowns he had. That's 138.4 points over 15 games, which he played 15 games. That is just under the double digits you want from every starter in your lineup. That desired floor of double digits. And that's without Jalen Hurts throwing one pass. Just based on what he did running the ball last year would give you nearly a double-digit floor per game without throwing one ball. And if you don't have it in front of you, he threw for over 3,000 yards and he threw 16 touchdowns. Yeah, he threw 9 picks. But it's not like he gives you nothing through the air. And now he has A.J. Brown and a second year of Devontae Smith. I don't see anything with the Eagles in terms of their running backs taking the ball out of Jalen Hurts' hands running the football. I don't. It's the same head coach that Hurts had last year, and they were a playoff team. Granted, They got the shit beat out of them by the Bucks in the first round, but it's not like what Jalen Hurts did didn't work for the Eagles. It did. And it can certainly work for you in fantasy. All the numbers lead me to praise those Eagles fans and those non-Eagles fans who saw the value in Jalen Hurts last year. But now you have to put in a curve this year because there's going to be a percentage, not a majority, but a percentage of other owners who think they can get Hurts as their starting quarterback somewhere between the 5th and maybe 10th quarterback on the board. Somewhere in there. This is not a secret. And for those of you yelling at me saying, thanks for getting the secret out there. Yeah, it was already out there. It was one of the best picks or quick waiver pickups from last year for fantasy teams, and I would imagine a significant percentage of those people were Eagles fans, and it worked. And the numbers look good for me going into 2022. I don't have anything to say tangibly that those numbers drop significantly. Nothing. Same coach, same philosophy, same young quarterback, same, I don't know, average roster at running back, upgrade at wide receiver, playoff team a year ago. Yeah. I don't view last year as an aberration at all for what Jalen Hurts can do for your fantasy team. All right, that's enough for today. We'll be back again tomorrow. We'll talk maybe the rest of the quarterback board since we've done quarterbacks the first 3 days this week and just sort of keep that going. It's been fun for me. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll talk to you next time.